That's it.
It's over.
Game over.
Game over, man.
It's over.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show.
Give me the postgame.
On the Blackhawks Radio Network. Here's Charlie Remeliotis.
Welcome into the Blackhawks postgame show. Charlie Remeliotis here at the United Center following a 6-1 loss to the Minnesota Wild for the Blackhawks. We're going to bring in Troy Murray now for a game recap. Troy, I know where you're going to go with this. My first,
do you?
My first game was a 7-2 loss in Minnesota. My second game was a 6-1 loss here. I'm obviously the common denominator to why the Blackhawks are having these performances. So should I step down from this position, or what's your pick?
You stick with it. You grind it out.
Grind it out.
Just like the Hawks got to do. They got to stick with it and grind it out. This has been a very disappointing preseason up to this point. John said 7 goals in the 5 games so far. That is not the type of offensive production that they're going to need during the regular season to be successful. I don't even know where you start as far as the positives in this game. I did like the fourth line, and when you look at the stats, I mean, it kind of backs it up as well. Ryan Donato and Patrick Maroon, they were even in the game. And Ryan Donato had 4 shots on goal. 3 were blocked, 2 that missed. You know, Patrick Maroon had 3 hits, a couple minor penalties that hurt at the beginning there. And Craig Smith, I mean, those guys worked hard. And, the top 2 lines didn't generate a whole lot. Connor Bedard, quiet in this game. Taylor Hall, quiet in this game. And those are the guys that need to step up. And, it's only the preseason, so I'm not going to get too carried away here, but you got to be concerned a little bit of what's going on here. The lack of success on the power play when you brought in some guys, they're still looking for some chemistry there. They don't, and I'm not knocking Seth Jones on this, but that's not his strong suit. Like, he's not the prototypical quarterback on a power play, and I'm not putting the blame on him, but they've got to figure out, they've got to get that net front presence with Bertuzzi straightened out. He's got to be in front of the net a little bit better. The passing has to be quicker, sharper. When the opportunities are there, they got to attack the net. I think that sometimes because of the missed passes or even one little bounce that they have to regroup, their entries have been struggling. So there's a lot of things that have to happen on the special teams, and you look at the goaltending, and I don't fault Peter Mrazek, and I didn't fault Comesso the other night. A lot of traffic, a lot of problems around the front of the net, lack of coverage, and just losing your position and your responsibility in the defensive zone. So we can cover a lot, but they need to be a lot better. And tomorrow night, they're going to get one crack at it, and I don't know what the lineup again is going to look like. But, for players who are just thinking that they're going to wade into the regular season and start firing on all cylinders, it's not that easy.
It feels like the 0-5 preseason record isn't really the concern. It's how they're losing. That's a bigger concern for me. Especially the last 2 games, where it just feels like the other night in Minnesota, the game got so out of hand that it was just by the third period, the game was already over. And then in this game, 2 minutes into the third period, and it's 5-1.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't think they've managed the important minutes or important moments, I should say, in games. 2 goals in 4 seconds, it just happens. I mean, not very often, but it happens, and I feel bad for Peter because he just kind of got caught on that play. Smart play by Brodin, though. But if you look at, they get up 2-1, and now you've got something to build on. But they give up a late goal, and now it's 3-1. So now all that emotion, maybe some excitement heading into the room. They're only down by a goal. Yeah, we can. Now it's changed, and now you're chasing it again. It just doesn't seem like they've got into any kind of positive emotion, positive energy so far, and that's going to have to change.
And one of the things, too, last year that the Blackhawks got such quality goaltending from Peter Mrazek that he kind of masked a lot of the flaws in those losses. We saw on a game like tonight, or even the other night in Minnesota, I know it was Drew Comesso in net, but when the goaltenders aren't bailing them out, it's almost like their flaws are magnified.
Sure, yeah. I mean, Peter Mrazek was excellent last year, and every time that we basically talked and called the game last year, we said Mrazek could have been a star in the game for how well he played. And you hope that pressure is going to be taken off a little bit. You want to see, some continuity on the backside there, and they've switched a few of the pairings around again. And Vlasic, I think it's been a slow start to the season for him in the preseason, and he's a guy that really they're counting on taking another step in a major step in the right direction, and being able to really fill a big role in that top four. And then they brought in TJ Brody, they brought in Martinez. These guys are supposed to stabilize things that were going wrong, and so far it kind of has been a little bit loose there. Nolan Allen, he's still trying to figure it out, and Isaac Phillips, they're trying to figure out where he fits into the scheme of things. And it's unfortunate that Wyatt Kaiser has been out of the equation, and they put him on IR today as well. So you looked at him, and they kind of had him as penciled in on one of the three pairings, and now all of a sudden you're trying to figure out is it Isaac Phillips? Is it Nolan Allen? You only have one extra defenseman at this point, so you may be carrying them all. But at the same time, you're looking for that stability in your own end of the ice to take some pressure off the goaltenders. Then so far in preseason, it really hasn't happened, but everybody's getting caught out of position. Just misreads on a simple two-on-two coming through there. Nolan Allen kind of got turned around. I think it was Isaac Phillips who was a little bit in the middle of the ice there, and then he got caught reaching. Nolan Allen turned the wrong way, and now all of a sudden it's a tap in on the backside with Peter Mrazek's got to respect the shot that was too wide open to begin with. So they've got some structural issues that they have to straighten up. And then Luke Richardson, Charlie, this year at all the press conferences and stuff, and he talked about they're not going to change the system. It's the execution of the system. And so far, we're not seeing the execution of the system the way that they need to play on their own end of the ice. And it doesn't matter what system you play. You have to execute that system and really rely on it. And teams that really have an identity, or a lockdown team or a high-flying team, like the Oilers aren't a team that's known for a great defensive team, but they're known because they can score goals. So there's their identity. If the Hawks are going to have trouble scoring goals, they have to have a team identity that is going to play well defensively and give you your team a chance to win some of these games. And right now, it's struggling on both ends.
Another thing I noticed in this game, and in the last one as well, Minnesota's top players performed. Like Kaprizov, Zuccarello, they all drove the offense for Minnesota. For Chicago, in a game like tonight, largely, the Connor Bedard line was really quiet. And that was something that happened last year, too. When teams shut down Connor Bedard, the Blackhawks just did not have the secondary scoring to go toe-to-toe with some of the upper echelon teams in the NHL. This year, obviously, they made additions via free agency, Tyler Bertuzzi, Teuvo Teravainen, to kind of help prepare to lift Connor Bedard and try to ease some pressure off of him so he doesn't have to carry the load. But in a game like tonight where all three of those guys are together, I didn't really notice them as much. Connor had a few good looks, but I didn't really notice them too much. And if that line isn't producing, I don't see where the depth scoring is coming from unless Taylor Hall returns to form. Kurashev, has the form that he was last year. So what are your thoughts on that? Top players, the top players also have to perform.
I agree 100%. You're not going to win unless your top players are better than the other team's top players. It's just that's the way it works. You bring in Bertuzzi. You bring in Teravainen and a healthy Taylor Hall this year. And I think in some ways that like Taylor Hall's kind of the key around this whole thing. You need production from Bertuzzi. There's no doubt about that. You bring him in specifically probably when you looked at it to pencil in him next to Connor Bedard on the line. Teravainen, maybe Kurashev, mix and match. And they really don't have a true second center right now. So that's kind of taken Kurashev out of the equation as far as playing with Connor Bedard, trying to, find that match as a second center. And that's a big issue because it totally changes the top six. And Connor Bedard's been quiet, but he hasn't had a whole lot of help. And it just hasn't seemed like the chemistry between him and Bertuzzi is there as of yet. They're going to continue to work on this and see if they can't find it. It's only been a couple games and a few practices that they've been together. So, you know, you look at some of the combinations in the NHL that are so dangerous. Those combinations have been together for a lot of years. You'd like to have lightning in a bottle kind of catch it and throw it out there and have it be successful, but it hasn't panned out that way. You know, Teravainen is a real smart player, and he's going to be a real nice addition. You know, Bertuzzi, he's got to find his role, and he's got to play that better. And Bedard, you know, there's never going to be an easy game for Connor Bedard. As long as he plays in the NHL, when you're Connor McDavid, when you're Sidney Crosby, when you're a Wayne Gretzky, the focus is always going to be on those guys. So it's never going to get easier for Connor Bedard, and he's just going to have to learn how to play through it. I think it's been frustrating for him that he hasn't got results in the preseason, one goal, right? And that was with just less than a second to go on a rebound. So it hasn't been kind of the Connor Bedard start to the season that everybody would say, okay, he's got a year under his belt. You hope that there's, you know, a good start to the regular season, but with four games on the road, you're going to have that tough matchup against the other team's top, either head-to-head or the top shutdown guy that they're going to have. When you're playing Minnesota, you're going to be playing up against Eriksson Ek a lot of time, and he's just, you know, he's a great player. You look at all the teams that are going to focus on Bedard, and they need that secondary top scoring, and right now they haven't got it, and they've really struggled to produce offense.
And the Blackhawks are kind of in a tricky spot in their rebuild right now because they want to take the next step, but a lot of the guys, like you talked about the power play and maybe Seth Jones not being the ideal candidate to run that first unit. Long term, it feels like Kevin Korchinski is going to be that guy, and Artem Levshinov maybe could be the guy in the second unit. You also talk about the second line center. In an ideal world, it's going to be Frank Nazar or Oliver Moore or Sasha Boisvert, like guys that aren't here yet. So it's trying to find, I think, to be honest with you, it's probably why there's so much pressure on Lucas Reichel to kind of be one of those guys, and why it's disappointing that he's not kind of taking control of it, because they could desperately use a player of his production if he is at the top of his game.
Yeah, and you know, that's up to him. He's had opportunities, and they've given him lots of chances, and it's up to him. And is he going to be the player that they thought he was? And you hope it, and he's still young. I mean, he's only 22 sure. years of age, so there's lots of room for growth there. But, you know, you would just like to. Last year's preseason for Lucas Reichel was really good, if you remember.
Mm-hmm.
Looked like, wow, he's just going to take off. And it just didn't pan into the regular season. And then there were some real struggles where he had to go back and try and, you know, reset and regain his confidence. And you hope that that's not the case again this year. But, you know, he's been given opportunities in preseason. He's been really quiet. So you look at this group of guys, and yes, in 2-3 years, the majority of this roster is not going to be here, especially up front. You know, there's going to be a huge turnover here in the next little while. You know, you've got Foligno, you've got Maroon, you've brought in Craig Smith. You know, these guys are short-term, 1 or 2 years types of fixes to help Connor and some of the younger guys come along and help them with their progress. So you kind of want to temper what's going on here, to your point.
Sure.
But at the same time, you know, if you're a Blackhawks fan, you're kind of getting anxious. You want to see something, you know, happen here. And I still think that this roster is a roster that will figure it out. And they've got a lot of veteran presence in there that will start to kind of lead everything in the right direction. But without those top guys producing offense, it's going to be hard. And I, you know, Donato's line again with Maroon and Smith, the best line on the ice for the Blackhawks.
Yep.
That is not going to translate well into the regular season if your fourth line continues to be your best line. You need them to do their job, and that's why you brought in Maroon. Donato is really focused on finding a spot and getting ice time. Craig Smith is a veteran guy, and he knows what he needs to do as a fourth-line player. I like Dickinson, Foligno, and Joey Anderson, Mikheyev, whoever's going to play on that other side. I don't have an issue with their third and fourth lines. Where they need production, where they need an upgrade in their play, not personnel-wise, but in their play, is those top two lines.
No question. All right. That's going to put a bow on this at the United Center. 6-1 loss. Ready for Milwaukee?
Yeah. You're not coming.
I'm not coming. I had my car stolen last time I was there.
That's a great story. You got it back, though, within a few hours.
Yeah. They called me in the first period and said, hey, your car got stolen. We already retrieved it. And I was like, excuse me?
It's in the lake, but yeah. We found it.
Yeah. So PSA to anyone going to Milwaukee, park in a parking garage. Don't look for street parking.
But the silver lining in all that was?
They didn't steal my golf clubs.
There you go.
Yeah, it was a big win. And actually, I forgot to leave. I've left this out of the story. My brother's golf clubs were also in my trunk, so he was just as nervous. So
nobody cares about the car.
Yeah, the car is easy to replace. My clubs are really difficult, too. All right, Troy.
Those clubs that magically get you into the mid-90s.
Yeah, the clubs are the problem. All right, we'll talk to you from Milwaukee tomorrow.
Oh, I can't wait.
All right, we're going to wrap up the post-game show on the other side. You're listening to 720 WGN.
Gave it to Bedard. He lost the puck. Zuccarello breaking into the Hawk zone. He moves in and fires, and a glove save is made by Mrazek.
Tonight's Save the Game is sponsored by the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program. Learn more at comed.com/poweringbiz. That was the Save the Game by Peter Mrazek. Seconds later, Seth Jones ended up scoring the goal for Chicago. It was the only one of the night for the Blackhawks. But nice play by Mrazek, as Troy said on the broadcast, to continue that play and not freeze the puck. All right, we got one more break coming up, and then we're going to wrap up the postgame show after this on 720 WGN.
Hit the line. His teammates change on him. Thomas snaps it in. They score! Kyrou! Overtime game winner! Bring out the Zamboni. It's a 4-3 Blues win.
Tonight's next game preview is sponsored by Plumbers 901 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Blackhawks Hockey is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, Circus Sports Illinois, United Airlines, and Citgo. When you start with Citgo, you're good to go. I'm Charlie Romeliotis signing off after a 6-1 loss to Minnesota at the United Center. We'll talk to you tomorrow.